Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem, and I think we should begin, even though it's a little bit of a review, but since we're holding in the middle of the sugya of Bikur Chaylim, we can start from Ki Asar Rav Dimi. So Ki Asar Rav Dimi Omar, everybody got that? Got seven lines down there. Ki Asar Rav Dimi Omar. So now, this was the question we had yesterday. Why in the world is it gorim lo sheyamut? My grandma, what are you trying to say? That kol mevaker tachole, so he's going to be gorim sheyichye because he's mevakish shel avrachamim sheyichye. And kol sheinu mevaker tachole, what, he's going to be mevakish shel avrachamim sheyamut? I mean, that's insane. Sheyamut, sakadaitach. So, Ella, Koshe in Mevaker Chole, in Mevakesh Elav Rachamim, Lo Sheyichye Velo Sheyamut. So, okay, there's a number of different Pirushim in this. So, yesterday we took the approach of the Rosh and several other Rishonim, that it may be that this person is at a point of a tipping point, in which the difference that his tefillah would have made at that moment could have been the difference between life and death. And therefore, if he isn't mispalo for him, so it would be the equivalent, since he's not, the very fact that he's not davening for him, would be the equivalent of actually being gorem mitato. That was that's the approach of the Rosh and the Rif. But the Rana has a very interesting approach, which is nogea, it's brought very often, halacha lamaisa, in other terms, as you'll see. Because the Rana understands that he's not going to be mispalo, neither that he should live, nor that he should die. What does that mean? In other words, there are times when the kindest thing that you could do for a person is to pray that he should die. Because this we find by the Shivcha of Rebbe, that when she saw what Rebbe was going through, that she said, I've changed my mind, and now she was mevakeshet, that the Elyonim should be the ones who win out, and Rebbe should die. And in fact, that tefillah was mayo. So this becomes a very important nekuda, benogea questions of withholding medical care from a patient that all you're doing by prolonging his life is causing him to suffer, but he doesn't have a chance of surviving anyway. This gemara becomes part of that chashiva. Shlomo Zalman brings it in his tshuvas. It's definitely one of the inyanim that one has to take into consideration. So you see from here that dafke, the mitzvah of the Bikur Cholim would be to pray for him that he should die, not that he should live. This is how the Ran understands it, which is totally different, obviously. In which case, the Bikur Cholim per se would be for both purposes. Now, what it is also mishtameh from here is that the inyan of the Bikur Cholim is nogea very much the tefillah of the Bikur Cholim. And it's because of this that actually the Ramban paskins that if you're mevaker chayla and you're not mispalo for him, that's not called Bikur Cholim. You're not really yotze, the mitzvah bichlal, of Bikur Cholim under those circumstances. Because that's the point, is that you're supposed to actually be helping him out and being mechazik him, and that the ikur chizik in that would be to actually be mispala lalav, which is a remarkable thing. So, I mean, people say refuah shleima, but, you know, I mean, what that means is may God send you a refuah shleima, you know, but it, often it's not really the full kavana of the person, the individual that's hearing it doesn't hear it completely. So, I want to point out that this is nogeya, some very important halachas. Because if the idea of bikur cholim, as we were medayik yesterday, that bikur does not mean to visit, but that rather bikur means specifically to be mevaker, means to, well, how would you say it in English exactly? Somebody offered a good word yesterday, to keep tabs on.
To audit?
Audit, yeah, audit is a good word, yeah. Although
investigate. Monitor, Moshe Mannheim said.
Monitor, yeah, I like that. That's good, monitor. But monitor doesn't necessarily mean that you have a responsibility to keep it in a particular, does it? It just means that you know. Maybe. Maybe.
I am the monitor as a position.
Right. So then you have to take care of it. Yeah. Right. Right. So what's the gabbai over here writing? Remez of. I'm not sure what he means. What's the remez of Barkad? Can you hear me?
He brings the remez for Bikur Polymer, Rish Lakish brings the remez
right.
for Bikur Polymer in terms of Pakid, like Pakaja to keep
so
tabs.
So Pakad, like keeping tabs, like the Ramban says, it always refers to an act of caring and keeping tabs on. When, yeah, Daniel, what do you say? Monitoring in clinical trials means to fix it if it goes off?
No, it means that somebody who is following the clinical is involved and looking that everything is done properly.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. But does it mean fixing it if it goes off? Because
yes. In clinical trials, yes. But I don't know whether it's not.
So in other words, someone is monitoring something, so it means by definition that he's gonna take action when the monitor is off, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. This is Daniel's business, Baruch Avram. Baruch Avram doesn't agree with you, but this is part of Daniel's professional capacity, so I'm not going to argue with him. Okay, so in any event, so auditing, monitoring, and so on. So this is very nogea. This was a circuit we were discussing yesterday with Gavi, that the question over there, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos learns from the din of Shiyah Adam Sham Orchotav. So a person is always supposed to monitor his drachim, right? So he understands it, not that he should know, but that he should monitor. In other words, that he has to take action to make sure that his drachim are not going to be messed up. So part of the understanding of the Bikur is that I know that I easily mess up an issue X, Y, or Z, right? So then this leads to the Rambam's very next halacha, which is the halacha of the chassidim. In other words, the difference between the derech ha-chokhma, where a person successfully manages or is successfully in a state of balanced deis, but the chiyuv to maintain that state, to make sure that it never goes off, is what provides the chiyuv of the chassid who looks into his own personality and history, knows where his weaknesses are, and takes corrective action in advance in order to be able to maintain that relationship of balance. So there the Rambam says that is part of the Derech HaChokhmah because of the fact that Chazal were Mechayev, Shuma, and that is monitoring, you see? So it's Poshet Nogel HaHalacha. So that means that over here, the idea of the Bikur Cholim would be the same. If there is a sense that the person needs something that is liable to get worse and so on, that's what you're doing. You're being Mevaker. In which case, the entire thing is a question of Si'ida, as we'll see. That we call this is actually the word that's used for as a synonym for Bikur Cholim. So that's the deep inyan of Bikur Cholim, in which case, just coming in, saying hello, and making them feel that people care is not sufficient. Because as Rabbi Akiva did, he did not only the physical needs of the Chayla, but doing what you can to see to him that the outcome is the best. And that's what the Ran is saying. If the best outcome for him is to die without having to suffer as much, then that's the best outcome. Okay, anyway, it's remarkable halachas that people are not sensitive to. So that's the Kilo Shefek Dami. Okay, so we were up to Rava. So Rava, Yuma Kadma to college. If Rava would get sick, first day that he didn't feel well, he would tell everybody, Lo tigalo le'inish, don't let anybody know that I'm not feeling well. De lo litra masle. Because the first, and the Rambam speaks out, the Farish, that this is only in a case where there hasn't been a sudden real decline in his health. It just means that you're not feeling well, You know, it's the first day you're not feeling, oh, God, I hope this doesn't turn out to be COVID, right? Hope this doesn't turn out to be the flu. So you're like, you're still not at that tipping point. So because of that, Rava felt, okay, so then if anybody, Rava had a lot of enemies, right? So Rava was worried if anybody prays that I should drop dead. So then, oh, thank God Rava is sick. Oh, wonderful. May he drop dead. So he was afraid that that would push the din over this balance, because this is the balancing moment. Like, am I going to get well? Like, whoa, I made it, you know. I took the medication just in time, you know the feeling. You know, whew, I dodged that bullet. Or is the bullet going to get him? Which that could be Nogea, again, the same idea of a tipping point in the tefillah, which was the approach of the Rosh and the Rif in the previous sugya. So it flows very well according to them. And then the second day, then he would tell them, Mikan Ve'el, he said, go out and announce that Rava is sick. Because this way, everybody who hates me will pray that I should drop dead. And they're going to be so happy. So if they're happy, that itself is going to be a solution for my illness. Because since it says in the Pasuk, Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach, and if a person is Sameach on his enemies, which everybody was happy, and it says, Ubekishalo Al Yagel Libecha, because of the fact that then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see and will have rachamim on him. He'll get angry at you, and you'll be the one who suffers. That's what I would like. Very good. Right? So let everybody be happy. And the people that are actually care for me, dorochimli, let them be mimoyalai rachamesi. Either way, it works out. It's interesting. The Mefarshim say, one of the approaches to this idea of, like, what is the meaning of binfoloi vecha al tismahu? Is there like a real reason why that would cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger to turn away from him? Like it says in the Pasuk, is yes, because there's no bigger tsar to a person in terms of Yisurin than to see how people are happy at his misfortune. And that means that whatever kapara would have been his through the Yisurin of his illness, he was Yotze already psychologically with the pain of having all these enemies. So because of that, it helps him get better because he already got the kapara of the illness. It's very interesting. So it's not just like this magical thing, right? Yeah. By the way, there's another very important issue I want to mention. And that is, why can't you be mispalel? In other words, this psak of the Ramban, you have to be there and be able to be mispalel for him, and if not, so we had this story, we spoke yesterday about Rav Meisha's psak, that, you know, based on the Gemara that we had yesterday, about if his son is sick, you can inquire about him and so on, that this means that a telephone visit is also meaningful for the bigger calling. The question is, what would be wrong with just being mispalel for him if the issue is the tefillah? So then, if you put together the two, isn't that the full equivalent of being in his presence? Like, in other words, what is the advantage of specifically being there if, lemaisa, you could end up davening for him anyway? So if he knows that you care and you're doing this, so what would be the problem? So it's interesting that we've talked about this many times, Lekabe Mishaberachs on Rosh Hashanah, that we learn out from the story of Elisha, that he asks, is there anything I can do for you? Because maybe I should speak to the Melech, meaning Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the Zohar says what he's referring to. And she answers, no, betochami anochi yosheves. And the Zohar says, because she does not want her name mentioned in a Shas of Din. Because the very mentioning of the name causes the Bezda Chomala to think about this person, so to speak. Let's bring him up. Once he's mentioned, that's the Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Shem Rishon Yirkav, and whatever. So there's Alpika Bola, there are those who taina that any Shazdin is true, and that a person should be careful not to have his name mentioned at a Shazdin. So they taina that that's the reason, if you're in the presence of the person, you don't have to mention their name, right? So it's for Meisher Rabbeinu, Kel Narafan Allah, you know, whoever she is. I won't say Miriam Bas Yocheved or anything like that, right? So therefore, if you're being mevaker the chela in person, so then you can be mispalal without being ma'aradinim. But if you're going to daven for him, you have to mention his name. But mentioning his name itself is not precisely what he might want. So because of that, this is an interesting side point, but it is very nogea, this idea of not having a person's pinkas, so to speak, open. Okay, so let's go weiter. Omar Rab, kol mevakeret hachole nitzol medina shel gehinom. So this is a beautiful posik. Remember that the posik says, Ashrei maskil eldal, biyom ra'ah yimalteu Adonai. So maskil is the same nekuda. Maskil means a person who understands and acts upon that understanding. So b'chol dvarchav should be a maskil. If he's maskil eldal, this is such a rare thing that people should understand what someone else is going through and their maskil in how to deal with that and how to try to help. You know, most people, they just walk by, okay, thank God it isn't me, you know. That's enough. That's not a maskil eldal. So the maskil eldal, biyom ra'ah, it's ra'ah is always the union of the worst times of din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him because he was maskil eldal. And we know that dal means choleh, because we find in the story of Tamar and Avshalom, so it says over there, madua ata dal. So he, Poshit, got sick from his desire for Tamar, and it says, why are you looking so sick? And we see that it's mamish considered to be, And alalokola, the first pasuk, sorry. Midala yivatz eni. So from out of this illness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to finish me off here. Inami min adinkra, madua takacha dal ben hamelech baboker. You look like you're getting sicker and sicker every morning. So because of this, you see that there's a concept of dalut that's a reference of gradually getting sick. Okay, it could be that these are two different dinim, because, I mean, you're not mortally ill or being lovesick. Mashen came, the other case, Bidala Yavatseni, is someone that is mortally ill, which could be referring back to the two approaches of the Ran. So someone who's ill to the extent that he doesn't have a chance, so then the tefillah could be that he should die. And then it says, Biyom Ra'ah. Ra'ah, ain Ra'ah Legehinon. You're talking about things being bad? That is hell. That's the ultimate bell. So the everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, even hell, is a tremendous gilui of the Kvet Shamayim, that there is a concept of din for a Rasha. So therefore, Ashrei Maskil Eldal, and he will be saved. Now take a look at the rest of the Pasuk, and you will see the most amazing thing. That's what he'll be saved from. But what will he be given? V'im biker mascharo. I mean, isn't being saved from Gehenna, isn't that a big schar? I mean, what do you mean, maskaro? You just said the guy's going to be saved from Gehenna. It's pretty good schar. No, I mean, okay, that's like ultimate disposition. I'm talking about maskaro b'lomazeh. Ah, so continue. Take a look at the continuation of the pasuk. It's amazing. Hashem yishmireyu v'yichayeyu v'yushar ba'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch over him, will bring him more and more life. He'll find so much luck in life. V'altitneu b'nefesh oivav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him from being given over to the deep desire of his enemies for him. So this means Hashem yishmereyu, Hashem will be mishamer him from the Yetzer Hara. V'yichayeyu from Yisurin. V'ushar ba'aretz, that everyone on earth will be mechabed him, because he cares about those who are less fortunate. V'altitneu b'nefesh oivav, that means she is damnu lo reim ki Naaman, shiripu et sarato. He should have friends like Naaman, who insisted. Now, it wasn't an easy thing, you know, he was suffering, and it's an embarrassing kind of suffering. I mean, he's suffering from tsaras, and to start arguing with the boss, you know, look, boss, you know, you really should go to the dentist. You got bad breath. I mean, this is a lot worse than that. I mean, you know, boss, you know, maybe we should have an open discussion about the fact that it's disgusting being around you. Maybe. Okay, so Buddy had people who cared about him. And they told him, listen, you know, doesn't matter that it looks crazy. Go to Alicia. What can it hurt you? And that, in the end, that changed his life totally. Take a look at the difference between him and the friends. I mean, he had supposedly friends. This is all his friends come to him. He's got these wonderful re'im, you know, and they say, don't be silly. You know, if you give in to people, they just always want more. On the contrary, you have to tell them what you think that my father Shlomo was rough on you. You ain't seen nothing. And, of course, that in the end caused the complete breakdown of the Malchus, and the Malchus based of it was split, and the Aseres HaShvatim went on. I mean, this was goring all the ultimate disasters of the Golas and everything. And that's because he had those kind of friends. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, this is one of the most famous Mamori Chazal. Again, it's not fully understood. That's a beautiful, beautiful Chazal. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Im yomru lecha yiladim b'nei, who's a kenim sitor. If kids will tell you, those are your friends, you know, your teenage friends, they'll tell you, do something which is clearly building. And does a kenim tell you, do something? Oh my God, if I listen to these guys, I'm destroying everything. Sitor, listen to the zekenim. So shmal zekenim alti shmal yiladim. Shebinyan yiladim stira. The building of these teenagers in the end is going to destroy everything. And the stirat zekenim ends up being binyan. You want to remember how true this is? Simon Ladavar, Rechavan ben Shlomo. So my father Zatzal always used to say, so people think that, you know, the issue over here is that the yiladim were giving him a bad etzah. The whole point is that the yiladim were giving him the good etzah. Every idiot knows that that's true. The minute that you open up the floodgates to doing what people want, you've lost control. Let's watch what happens now in China when they're going to start changing the laws about the corona. Or let's see what happens in Iran when they say they're ready to change the laws about the hijab. You know, it's the same thing with the American civil laws, you know, but the moment that the blacks were given, you know, this idea. So now it's like there's no room for whites in the university. You know, it's unbelievable. So Lemaisa, what the Zekenim were saying was completely wrong. It was destructive. What do you mean give in to everything? Tell them, yeah, you're right. And then if you do that now, then you'll be able to recover and you'll they were completely wrong. And Rechavam is thinking, oh my God, look through history. These Yeladim are telling me binyan. These Zekenim are telling me stira. They really were. And afal pike, listen to the Zekenim. Because the sensitivity to the situation and the depth of experience that allows you to know when to just follow what appears to be the clear historical pattern and when not, that is something that is a function of Zekenim and Yeladim. That's the depth of the Chazal. Anyway, getting back to Bikur Cholim. Omer Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi. Lolis od. Now, this is I mentioned before that Bikur Cholim is referred to in Aramaic as lis od. But lis od means support of, right? So it's the same idea that the Bikur includes seeing to it that you are monitoring the situation and that you are actually adjusting it. Just like the idea of Sham or Chotav, or as Gavi pointed out, the issue of Pekida and all of the various issues that we spoke about. So it's always lis'od. But do not come to do that bikur cholim. I don't even want to translate it as visiting, because as we've seen, it's much more than visiting. Lo betlat shai kadmayata. You should not go during the first 3 hours of the day, and lo betlat shai batrayta. You am not in the last 3 hours of the day. Because if you do, then you're not going to pray for him. If you come in the first 3 hours of the day, early in the morning, the guy looks okay. You know, you first wake up at some hour or other, it's not as bad as it was last night. By the time the late afternoon comes around, oh my God, the fever's back, the headache is back, everything's back, the guy's dying. I don't know if I'll make it through the night. So don't go through the Tlat Shai Kamaita. The first 3 hours, Rav Chadaita is thinking, oh, okay, apparently he's over the crisis. he's on his way up. But the last 3 hours of the day, Batraita, he feels so sick that it looks like it's hopeless. We might as well pray for him to die. Not a good time to come visit. So Batraita takif chulsha, he feels really, really weak. How do we know that when a person is in a state of serious illness, that it requires the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to specifically give him chiyus? Shenemar, Hashem yisadenu. Note the same loshen. Lo lisoid inish ketzira. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is actually monitoring the situation and being mechayim. Hashem yisadenu al eres devai. On his sickbed of pain, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that does the si'ida. The Omar Rovin Omar Rab, minayin shashchina shruya l'mala mimitato shel acholeh. This is the pasuk shenemar Hashem yisadenu al eres devai. So you see that a chola, many of the mefarshim point out that this is an indication, as we're going to see, that the choleh is in a state of examining his own maisim and trying to do teshuva. And therefore, there's a special relationship that he has with the Shechina at that point, in which you have to respect that relationship. This is going to be very nogay in a moment. Day-to-day issues, as I'll show you. Tanina miyachi, hanichnas levakeret acholeh, lo yeshev agave mita. Don't sit on the bed. Don't sit on a safsal, or on a kisei, which is high. So if you're going to be higher than that person, you're going to be putting yourself above the Shechina. Elamita teif v'yoshef ala karka. You should wrap yourself up in your talis, and you should sit down on the ground. Here we're talking about over here, according to some, that it's only where the bed of the chayla is on that level. But others learn that it's ba'irer, the chole himself, when he sees that this person feels that the Shechina is here and that he's acting with that kind of covet for the presence of the Shechina, then the person feels, oh, you know, wow, I mamish am in such a special moment in my life that the Shechina is caring for me. So that itself is him. And you shouldn't sit any higher because Shenemar Hashem yisadenu al eres devai. Now, this sugya is the reason, it's fascinating, there's a machlokas, what is the reason not to pass in front of somebody who is davening? Right? So you're not supposed to go between them. So the question is over here, many of the mefarshim say, you should not sit on that level because the person whose eyes are klape shechina, so to speak, and he's concentrating on his own thoughts of tshuva, and about life and death and so on, it's very disturbing to him to see somebody there between him and his thoughts, you know? It's like, here's somebody that's just like, he's not aware of anything that I'm aware of, and he's sitting there, you know, as if like, you know, olam kemenhago noheg, and it destroys his ability to actually relate to the Shechina that he's attempting to do. So now the question is that also the reason that a person who's davening, you should not pass in front of him, right? So, I mean, there are those who bring, this is the reason, that in passing in front of him, you end up being mevatel his kavona. And there's another reason that's given by the Chayyodam, which the Bir Halacha says turns out to be nogea difference la halacha, and the Chayyodam says he's mafsik beino levein hashchina. So the question is like, where does that really come from? He's mafsik beino levein hashchina, and the difference is that if the person is completely covered, he has his talus over his face, and you want to walk in front of him while he's davening, he's not going to know that you're walking. So if the idea is that you're mevatel his kavana, so then you're not going to be mevatel his kavana. He's completely wrapped up. But if the idea is that it's really a difference between getting between him and the Shechina, knowing that there's something that's there that is between him and the Shekhinah, that itself is disturbing. So it could be that there would be a nafkamina between the two shitas. So that would be really very, very nogea. Now, I think there's another place that this is nogea, and again, people are not aware of. Why do we cover our eyes when we say Kriyat Shema? So we saw before that, well, we didn't see it before because none of you are learning the Yerushalmi, apparently, that you're supposed to be learning. But we have seen that in the Bavli, and it's in the recent Dapim in the Yerushalmi, and that was that Rebbe was Kare Kriyat Shema, as they said. We never see Rebbe saying Kriyat Shema. He starts Shir before Zman Kriyat Shema. He ends Shir after Zman Kriyat Shema. So what the heck's going on? Does he never say Kriyat Shema? Right? So they answer, did you ever see Rebbe, like, while he's in the middle of Shir, he goes like that, and he covers his eyes. So it's then that he's saying Kriyat Shema. And he only says the first three. So okay, that's the whole sugya. How much does he have to say with Kavon, whatever? So the Pashtus people learn that what that means is that the covering of the eyes is to enable the concentration, that there shouldn't be other things in the way, which is nogea exactly this issue about tefillah. And I mean, sometimes just seeing the beauty of the world is more ma'ir you for the yichud Hashem than covering your eyes. I mean, so, well, if nobody's around and you're looking up at the Shemayim, I mean, why in the world should you cover your eyes? So it occurred to me that there might be a completely different inyan that's involved. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu that he's trying to persuade him to come down to Mitzrayim, right? So he says, V'yosef yashit yadav aleinecha. That Yosef will put his will close your eyes as you die. So the Zohar says, well, like, you know, what's that for? Who cares? So the Zohar says, beautiful, beautiful Pirush, which we've spoken about before, that when a person does that, he is saying to the individual who's leaving this world, I will be your eyes. Now you're losing your eyes in this world. I'm going to be your eyes. So therefore, I'm the one that's taking this step, because that's making me responsible to be your eyes. In Kriyat Shema, we speak to Yaakov Avinu, because the Shema Yisrael, the Medrash says, the Shema Yisrael asher b'ma'arat ha-machpelah. So the remez in closing our eyes is the Yosef Yashit Einav aleinecha, because the whole point of Kriyat Shema is therefore telling Yaakov Avinu, don't worry that you're not active. We're still on duty. Everything is going fine. And, you know, we're on our way. It's going to be all right. Relax. But that itself is a getter of Yoshis Yadav Alina. So in Mele, you're merames to it by actually putting your, not closing your eyes, but you have to put your fingers on your eyes. Lamaisa, I mean, people are wearing glasses. They got a real problem. They're going to cover their eyes, right? So just close your eyes. No, that's not the point. You see? And that would explain why the hand goes up rather than just closing your eyes for a second. I really think it's an amazing, amazing remez.
Fine. The Sfaradim make Shem Hashem with their fingers, which is sort of putting the Shekhinah over the face.
Right, so that would be a different nekuda. Yeah, now, that's the way most people. I don't think I've never seen anything like this mentioned, but I really believe that it's nagia. Okay, Rabose, now begins. Sorry.
It calls for a drink. Rabbi has not been drinking.
Chaim. Gavi hasn't given me anything kosher to drink. I think even that fellow that usually just pours coffee at me in the morning, even he hasn't been active. We got Akiva back, so we're doing all right. Thank you, Akiva. Okay, now here's our next sugya. As an introduction to our next sugya, let us remember that we have two completely different dinim when it comes to tefillah. Tefillah not meaning with a tuf, but with a tet, when it comes to toiveling in a mikveh or in a river. So we have the ach mayan ubor mikveh mai. Now you know that wherever it says ach, it's always a miut, right? Okay, so the Gemara learns out, this we're taking a lot for granted in terms of the limudim, but what's important for our sugya is to know that the mayan and bor mikveh mayim are two completely different dinim. So the Mayan is mitaher in its natural state. So if you have a flowing natural source and the water is moving, there is no shear of Arba'im Sa'. And since there's no shear of Arba'im Sa', and since, remember, that liquid, the meaning of a liquid, is that it will only take on a shear if it's held in a container. So it takes on the shape of the container, and that creates a state of a shear. While the water is flowing, then what's actually happening is that we don't see any connection between the molecules of the water, because, in fact, that's the idea of a liquid. It's not connected sufficiently to be able to take a shape. You have to give it a shape. Therefore, we understand, it's such a brilliant insight of Chazal, that the bar mikveh means by definition that the water is held in a container that doesn't allow it to flow. But it has to be like a mayan in the sense that it's part of the ground. On the other hand, if it's a mayan, it doesn't require any shape. So then even if it's flowing, it's perfectly okay. But then it won't have any shear, which is great. Amazing insights. Really, it's mind-boggling. Okay, but anyway, the question is like this. So suppose you have a natural source, and now along that natural source, there comes melting snow, right? So it's right at the time when the earth is heating up, and now it's springtime, the snows begin to melt, and you've got this massive runoff of snow. Now, that snow is not the natural source of the Mayan. It's added water. So the Mayan we call Zochalin. Zochalin means they're flowing. And the water... Who's talking here? Brucey, mute yourself. Unless you want to say good morning to the world again because you just woke up. I don't know. But otherwise, you should mute yourself.
Well, I did just wake up.
Fine. So the flowing water, that's called zoichalim. That is that the water is metayer bezoichalim if it is a mayan. But otherwise, it would only be metayer if it's standing. So that's called bashborin. And if you have water that's dripping, now there's two ways that it could drip. It could drip as rain from the sky. And that rain would have to be contained in a mikveh. That's the way we make mikvahs. Usually we let the rainwater come into the mikveh, and then it's in a bar mikveh mayim. Then it would be metayer. The moment there's a leak in the mikveh, and the water is now flowing, it's no longer kosher. So we have to see to it that it's held in place. So how do we actually know, when we go to a river to be tevel, that the water in the river is mayim that is metayer from a natural source, or that the river is being fed by notafim, by dripping things? It could be fed by dripping things directly by rainfall, and that rainfall could have taken place 1,000 miles away. And now there's this massive gathering in the based on obviously the topography and the way that the rain is going to be gathered in the end. That's the watershed of that location. So the watershed could be thousands of square miles, and all of it will come down into one place, which will make an immense, which we see all the time in the Negev, right, where you can literally get killed from there being nothing there, and then 10 seconds later, there's so much water that there's no way to escape it. So that's these sudden downpours that all have the watershed in that place. That's Watergate. Anyway, so that's the question. So Ravin says, Mitra b'ma'arava, if it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, Sahada Rabba Prat, the best witness to rain in Eretz Yisrael is looking at the Prat River, looking at the Euphrates. If the Euphrates is swollen, that's a sure sign that it's been raining in Eretz Yisrael, even though there's no sign of rain in the Euphrates area itself. That entire area is fed by the watershed of Eretz Yisrael. So if there's going to be rain in Eretz Yisrael, and this, by the way, it's very beautiful. You could be medayik from Rashi. But Rashi says in Ta'anit, where we say, well, we want to put off being mevakesh, tein tal umotar, which in fact, in Chutz Laretz is only tonight, I believe. Is that correct? Akiva, are we at the right time for tein tal umotar? tonight, or you're not aware of the Habad Ari? It's today already?
Tonight.
Okay, so, but in Eretz Yisrael, of course, we just give enough time so that you should be able to get home. So Rashi says, not that the rains should start when you get home to the Gola, but that the water should arrive there. Because if the water arrives before Yisrael gets there, they won't be able to cross the Prat. That's how Rashi understands it. So it's not the question of the rain itself, it's the arrival of the rain. This is very meduyik and ta'anit like this Gemara. So, and that is actually the fact in terms of current understanding of the watershed in the entire area, the entire basin, the Euphrates basin, is actually very influenced by the rain over here. But the implication is that would mean that if there's water in Nahar Prat, that is a lot of water, then you're not allowed to be Tevel in the Prat. So, I mean, the Pashtus is, I mean, what he's saying is just sort of like Divrei Agada, so to speak. So that, you know, you can be Meidu Mishabeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Teva of Gishamim in Eretz Yisrael. But it has this very important halakhic implication, namely, that it would then be Aser to be Teva in Nahar Prat. If you want to go to the Mikveh Nahar Prat, you'd have to actually build walls around yourself that maintain that water without flowing. Now, that mimer is very much a machlokes on Shmuel, because it's clear that Ravin, in quoting Rav, he was talking also about the halachic implications. And Shmuel says, Nahara mikipe midbar, that a water that you find in a river, even if it's pouring rain, most of that water is going to be coming from the hydraulic pressure that increases because of the rainfall and forces water out of aquifers into the river. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much rain there is, because, as the Ran points out, this is the Gemara in Tainis, it says every tefach of rain that comes down from above really causes two tefachim of additional water to come out of the aquifer, because it gathers under pressure in the aquifer. That's brilliant. Therefore, according to Shmuel, there's never a problem of being Teivel, even if you're in the middle of a rainstorm. And even if the river is now three times its normal size, you can be sure that the most of the water is coming gufa from the source. Obviously, the source of all water in the end is the rain cycle. But the question is, once it comes from an aquifer directly, so then the Torah says you can use it even if it's cycling. But if it's directly on you, then you can only use it bashbaran. And that was what all learned out from one word, ach. Meiridik, just simply Meiridik. Okay. Every day you can be more and more inspired on the amount of chokhmah that comes out of just an analysis of a tiny inyan in a pasuk. Now, halacha l'maaseh would appear that Shmuel himself was not really samech on this. Because pliga de Shmuel ad Shmuel, when the Ran understands the meaning of the words pliga de Shmuel ad Shmuel, doesn't mean that Shmuel contradicted himself. It means that Shmuel was not willing to be samech on this halacha l'maaseh and to actually be tevel in a river, even though it's swollen. Because the Omar Shmuel, ein hamayim etarin bezochalin, you cannot trust flowing water unless you're talking about Nahar Prat during the days of Tishrei. And during the days of Tishrei means that it's at a time in which there has not been rain for a while, and even all of the snow is completely melted by that time, and the new rains haven't begun because the rainy season hasn't arrived. So because of that, you can be sure that the water that's there is all its own natural water. Shmuel, I thought you said it doesn't matter if it's raining, and that most of the water anyway is going to be its own natural water from aquifers. True. That's what Shmuel holds is the fact, but it appears that Shmuel, halacha l'maaseh, wanted to be machmer like his father. And his father, Avua de Shmuel, avad lahon mikvaot levinate, and oftentimes, as the Ran points out, we will paskin like a maaseh shehayah, because Meiser Rav, even though we don't feel that that's really necessary. So since he saw what his father did for his own children, for his own daughters, that if his daughters wanted to go to the mikveh during Nisan, so he would build mikvaot for them in it during Nisan. And then during Tishrei, he would just put up mats. So there's two approaches. Either he put up mats under their feet so that they don't get mud, which could be so thick it could be a chatzitza, or he put up mats, meaning that there should be some tznius there so they shouldn't feel rushed to jump into the water, whereas maybe they won't be medakdeket. So he would put up mats, and that way they could just freely be tovel in the river. So therefore, you see, and the Ran understands this to mean, and during the rest of the year, they had a mikveh, you know, in their homes. That wasn't the issue. But, I mean, obviously, they wanted to get out there, you know, into the grand outdoors and so on. So if they're going to be going outdoors in Nisan, he would bedavka make sure that it was to a mikveh and not to a river. So first, let's understand what this means. When we say the way the Ran understands Prat and Yume Tishrei is that it's telling us two different things. The river that we're talking about, obviously, it doesn't mean there's only one river in the entire world. That's ridiculous. So the pshat must be, therefore, that the Prat is a representation of a type of river. What is the type of river that we're talking about? A mayim de'enam mechazvim. Water, a river where it never runs dry. So if it never runs dry, then you can establish that there is definitely the basal flow of this river during the time when there is no snow runoff and there's no rain that's going to be pouring anywhere in the basin that is the source of the water in this area. So that means take a look at the level of the Prat Biyomei Tishrei. That is considered to be the basal level of the Prat. Now you will be able to know how much water is added by taking a look at the difference in the water flow if it isn't Tishrei. So Tishrei does not mean Tishrei, and Prat does not mean Prat. This is an abstract discussion. A river is defined by the time of the year in which there's no inflow, and nonetheless, it always goes at that level and never goes beneath it. It's never mechazev, and it's the type of river that will never run dry. So that if you find that it is now 3 months after Tishrei and the amount of water that's been added to the Tishrei level is not enough to be chayshish, that maybe there's more added water than there is natural water from the kibbeh, so then you won't have to worry. If some strange event happens and in Tishrei the water is way above normal, so then you do have to worry. It's just an abstract discussion that you have to apply and can apply to any river in the entire world in exactly the same way, as long as you are familiar with the facts. So you have to have monitored this river so you know its basic flow level, and you have to monitor it over time to know that that basic flow level is never going to disappear, in which case you have to be cautious. Well, how do I know? Maybe this was one of the times in which the aquifer was depleted and the water that's here is coming from rainfall somewhere upstream or something. So then, and that's all that it means. And that you have to apply it according to what you know. So that Shmuel himself was makbid in this circumstances, since he saw his father being makbid for his children, not to be semich on his own approach, that nahara mikipe mizborech, and therefore he meant that you need to be careful. Now, halacha lemaisa is a big machlokas rishonim about what the real halacha is, because many of the rishonim bring raya's from other gemaras that it's definitely, the facts are that nahara mikipe mizborech. And if nahara mikipe mizborech, there's never any worry about being tovel in a river, so that it would be perfectly okay to always be tovel in a river according to this. However, there are rishonim utayna based on other gemaras that we weren't really positive. It's a little bit complicated to go into here. We're running out of time. But that we are actually, we paskin like Shmuel, that you have to be cheshesh. So therefore, halacha lemaisa is brought la halacha by the Ramban, by the other paskin, that lichatchila, it's always better to be tevel in a mikveh. Because, first of all, you don't have to worry about the fact that people get cold and therefore they may be toivel too quickly. The water is too cold. I'm afraid to jump in and so on. And that is something that you can handle in a mikveh, but you can't handle in an outdoor river. There's the problem of the mud. If you learn over here that the mafzi was to protect against a chatzitza on the raglayim, so whenever you're in a natural river, you're always in danger of maybe picking up some type of chatzitza on the skin. So therefore, you have to worry about that. And furthermore, since most of the time you don't know enough about the river to be able to be certain that it's okay in terms of ribui notvim ala zochlin, it's always better to be machmer. In the event that you're in a place where there is no mikveh, the only option that you have is to use a river. So then, if it's not during the time that the river is overflowing and beyond the norms of the river, and what's brought lahalacha is if the river is outside of its normal path. So in other words, that means it's now obviously beyond its normal height because it's carved out areas that used to be free of water and now there's water there. So then you have to be chayshish. But if you don't see any of those signs to be chayshish and there's no alternative but to use a river for tefillah, so then you can use it. And all of this is in light of Shmuel's being makbid because of his father. Okay, so this is the complexity of the sugya that we're bringing up today because of the Maimorim that were brought before of Rav Yonam Rav. So we already brought in this issue that seems to be just a throwaway line, but it causes us to have an entire Amud of Ran. So in Nedarim, that can easily determine the Daf Yomi for the day.